Hi, this is Oz, and this is Words About Baking. And today I'm going to be giving you some words about eggs. This is probably a part one, but more likely as I go further into talking about eggs, I'm going to be talking about specific applications, because those are also really interesting. But today we're just going to be talking about eggs in general. We're going to be talking about parts of an egg and really what they're good for and why we use them in baking specifically. My source for this episode is primarily Professional Baking by Wayne Gislin, but I also got some of my information from eggsafety.org, which is a website run by the Egg Safety Center, and it's really interesting to look at. It's also has a lot more information and individual articles if you want to do some more reading or if you still have questions. So I would suggest checking that out. The reason that eggs are a good thing to cover sort of early on and they're a good thing to talk about in baking is that we need to understand them. We use them super frequently in baking of all sorts, and they're a lot more expensive of an ingredient than a lot of the other sort of high volume ingredients that we use, like flour or sugar. There are obviously more expensive ingredients, like chocolate, like vanilla, which is wildly expensive for very good reason, but we only use those in small amounts when we're making a cake or cookies or pretty much anything, as opposed to eggs, which we use a lot more of them for how expensive they are. Like the average cake batter, if you cost it out, about half or more of the cost of a cake batter is eggs. So that's a good thing to keep in mind. And it's also why it's important to, you know how they work. Whole eggs are made up of three parts. There is the shell, the white, and the yolk. There are sort of smaller components to that. There is a membrane that lines the inside of the shell. There's an air pocket that is between that membrane and that shell. If you have ever hard-boiled an egg and gone to peel it, you've found that indentation there. And there are also white strands called chalazae that hold the yolk in place in the center of the egg. As the egg ages, those sort of weaken, and that's why if you, again, hard boil an older egg, instead of the yolk being in the center, you could have it off to the side or closer to the bottom. It just has to do with the aging of the egg, it not being held tightly in the center there. The shell is hard, but it's also thin and fragile, and some people talk about it being the perfect barrier, but it's really not. Despite being fragile, as you well know, it's also a porous surface. It can absorb odors and flavors from the air around it, and it can also lose moisture even if it's not cracked, which is why storage is such an important part of egg keeping and egg safety, which is why it's clear and soluble when it's raw, and then when it's coagulated, usually from heat, it becomes white and firm. It also has a little bit of sulfur in it, but it is mostly protein. Yolks are high in fat and protein. They have iron and vitamins in them, and they can vary from a very light pale yellow to an almost orange yellow, depending on the diet of the chicken that laid them. Sometimes when you crack an egg open, you'll find a red spot on the yolk that is... Sometimes people will worry that there's something wrong with the egg then, but there's actually not. What it is there's it's the result of a ruptured blood vessel on the yolk surface during the formation of the egg. It's usually caught by electronic scanners or spotters during the process of eggs being grated and packaged and made ready for sale. The white has no fat. It's primarily albumin protein, but it's not possible to catch every single one of those. And if you're getting your eggs from a local source, then they won't have the chance to do that. They won't have the equipment for it. And either way, it is perfectly safe. You have nothing to worry about if you see something like that. In the U.S., the USDA grades eggs for quality. There are three grades of eggs in the U.S. There's AA, A, and B. Eggs lose some of their firmness as they age. When you crack one open, you can see how high the yolk stands and how far the white spreads out. You can judge the age of an egg and how well it's been stored by cracking it like that onto a surface and looking at it from the side. That's also how it's graded. AA, A, or B. It's very interesting, and it's also good to determine the age of your egg and how well it's been stored. As a baker, you're less concerned with the firmness of the whites and the yolks as you are with the flavor of the egg. You want the eggs to be clean and to taste fresh and to not have any bad flavors from foreign odors that they might have picked up or from, you know, spoiling. Vegan friends, and for now I'm going to run through some egg substitutes that you can use in baking. I don't have a particular source for this. This is just from years of forgetting to buy eggs and also cooking for various occasions where I just couldn't use eggs for whatever reason. A couple of them have been assignments, so I don't have anything but experimentation on my side for that. But the reason that finding an effective egg substitute is so difficult is because of all of what we talked about with regards to an egg's function in baking. Let's call it a non-animal product solution. It becomes very difficult. The things that you want out of whatever your end product is are going to determine what your replacement is, because each one of these addresses certain concerns, but none of them really address all of them. It fills so many roles in itself that finding a single item to replace it with, especially a still, they're good to keep in mind, and they're good to talk about. To start with, there are sort of commercial egg replacers. They are usually powdered. I know that Bob's Red Mill has one that's gluten-free and vegan, if both of those are your deal. And they're really good. You do have to follow the directions on the packaging pretty much exactly. And they have an aftertaste to them. Nothing that I suggest here is going to taste like eggs because it's not eggs. But if you want as close to the real thing as possible, and you don't mind spending some extra money because it is expensive relative to everything else we're going to talk about, then very specific, basically, I would keep this in mind. This is really the way to go, especially if you are also looking for something gluten-free, something that doesn't include nuts, something that is... One very common one is applesauce. It's really good for quick breads, muffins, cakes, pancakes, anything that is a little bit, you don't mind being a little bit heavier or a little bit wetter. One large egg is about a quarter cup of unsweetened applesauce. It has to be unsweetened, otherwise you have to deal with the alteration to your sugar content as well. It does have a little bit of natural sweetness to it, so you might find something a touch too sweet, but it won't affect it in the same way as additional added sugar. Another really common substitute is mashed banana. Again, about a quarter cup per large egg. It's more, it's again, it's a wet texture. Anything moist and dense. Muffins, brownies, quick breads. You can use it in cakes, but if you're looking for a fluffier cake, I wouldn't. Pancakes, waffles, anything that you don't mind being a little bit flat. Avocados are also used as a substitute. It has a neutral enough flavor that you're not going to notice it taste-wise, but because it is green, you may notice a color change from whatever your original recipe would suggest. It's good in brownies, muffins, chocolate cakes specifically because the cocoa or chocolate overpowers any sort of subtle taste it may have. And all of those have a strong enough coloring on their own that you're not going to notice a greenish tinge to it. It's another quarter cup substitution of just mashed or pureed avocado. People tend to like this because it has a really good mouthfeel to it, and also because on its own, you know, it adds a lot of nutritional value. And people are into that. It is a little bit custardy on its own, which is why it's good for that replacement, but it's really only good for denser baked goods. Tofu is another possible substitution. It has to be silken tofu in order to work. If you have anything that is more dry, then it won't behave properly. And again, you have your liquid content to contend with because it tends to be a little bit heavier and it doesn't aerate at all. Any sort of nut butter can also be used because of the protein content. It's a good substitution. Smooth is better than anything with chunks in it as far as effect goes, and it's best for things that don't really require a delicate crumb, so you wouldn't want to use it for a cake, but for cookie, brownies, pancakes, anything like that, it's a pretty decent replacement. Yogurt is another recipe. It aerates better, significantly better than some other products. Obviously, this is dairy, so you wouldn't want to use this as a vegan substitute, but this is very good for if you just don't have eggs around, but you happen to have yogurt in your fridge. Full fat is better than non-fat as far as getting the right texture goes, because it has that tenderizing ability to it, but it's more versatile than some other things. It's more versatile than the nut butter, for instance. You can use it in cakes as well as your standard sort of quick breads that most of these substitutions are really geared towards. You'll notice that most of these have a sort of volume-based replacement going, a quarter cup per large egg. Something that's a little bit different is when you start getting into grains as replacements for eggs, for substitutions. While all of these substitutions are good, and it's really good that we know enough to have this be information that you can find just on Google instead of a mystery or something you have to figure out on your own from trial and error, I would suggest that if you can use an egg for your baked good when a recipe calls for it, you go ahead and use an egg. For the most part, a substitution isn't going to get you the ideal final product or the final product as it was intended. This doesn't mean you can't experiment. It doesn't mean you can't mess around and see if maybe one of these substitutions is also good as an addition to whatever recipe you're trying to make. But it's hard to substitute for something that plays so many roles chemically, structurally, texturally in a baked good all on its own. It is in some ways a perfect package when it comes to its contributions to baking, as long as you know what it is and how to use it. That's all I'm going to cover for now. The next time I get into eggs, I'm going to go more in depth on individual recipes, individual foods that can be made with eggs, with a focus on custards, creams, and how eggs in particular play their role in that. But for now, thank you for listening. It's been wonderful to have you. This has been Words About Baking. Bye.